Welcome to Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Terry Savage, filling in today for John Williams, and do we have a show for you? You saw the headlines, my goodness, shocking unemployment numbers talking about the depression. And yet somehow the stock market is moving higher and higher. I'll have some thoughts on that at the end. And in the second half of the show, we're going to talk with Ed Wehmer, the CEO of Wintrust, about the PPI program, about interest rates and the economy and whatever else I could squeeze in. But first, and I can't thank her enough, we have Rebecca Sisco, who is the Public Information Officer from the Illinois Department of Employment Security. And Rebecca, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch, and thank you. So many people had questions for you. I've gathered them all together, but thank you for coming on. What's this been like for the Illinois Department of Employment Security?
Thanks for having me on, Terry. I appreciate it. We are currently fielding an unprecedented moment in history. I don't think ever before have we seen unemployment claims coming in so quickly at this level. We have processed over 1 million claims in the past 9 weeks, which is more than all of 2018 and 2019 combined. And it's also about five times greater than that of the Great Recession. So,
are you caught up now, Rebecca? Forget the self-employment side. We're going to come to that quickly. But are you about caught up with people who are filing? Are they getting right away through? And do they get their benefits retroactively if they did have to wait a couple of weeks to get through?
As claims are coming in, they're being processed. And as people are determined to be eligible for benefits, they're being paid. We've paid out over $2 billion in benefits since January. So in just, 4 months or so, we've paid $2 billion in benefits. So as claims are coming in, they're being processed, and benefits are going out the door.
Do you want to make an announcement? You wouldn't tell me when I sent you a note saying, are you going to make an announcement about this whole thing we've been waiting for? Obviously, self-employed people under the CARES Act can file, but there was no state had a website set up for that because you typically have to ask for your W-2 forms and verify with employers. Where do we stand with the self-employed being able to file?
The Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, PUA, is going live on Monday. That portal will be available through the IDES website on Monday. So we are currently asking anybody that has not yet filed for regular unemployment who thinks they may benefit from the PUA program to go ahead and submit a claim for regular unemployment. Being denied for regular unemployment is the first mandatory step in establishing eligibility for PUA. Those that have already done that should just be prepared to submit a claim through the PUA portal on Monday.
So even if you did get turned down before for traditional unemployment, and they have your information, and you may have already gotten a number, actually, from the IDES, on Monday, you're going to go back if you applied before or if you're self-employed and haven't. Both categories should go back and refile on Monday?
So the PUA program is a completely new program built from scratch, from the ground up. It's not an add-on to the current regular unemployment system. Because of that, the programs don't talk to each other. The data is not transferable. So if you have already applied for regular and been denied, you'll need to go into the new PUA portal and submit a new claim in that system.
Now, just give us the URL for that before I quick head off to weather and traffic. It will be at your website.
Yes, illinois.ides.gov.
ides.gov.l. And now I'm sitting here with Rebecca Sisco, who is a Chief Public Information Officer for the Illinois Department of Employment Security. Rebecca, you've just announced it's starting Monday. The website will have a special link. Will it be on the homepage at illinois.gov /IDES. How will people find it?
Yes, it will be placed prominently on the homepage.
All right. And you know, people are asking, is there anybody I can talk to? There are numbers. People leave messages. Is there anybody working? When are the offices going to open? Any other way besides going through the website?
The website is the most expeditious way to file a claim or to get an answer to your question. We've recently implemented a web bot onto the website that will hopefully answer some frequently asked questions, basic questions people have, that will not require them to call and talk to an agent.
All right. Well, speaking of questions, here are a few. I actually asked for questions last week and received hundreds of them. I spent a lot of time sorting through them. Let me talk about questions that people have who did file, but number one, are getting the wrong amount. Someone says, I'm getting unemployment, but I don't see the federal $600. It's supposed to be automatic. My husband tries calling in to get information. He hasn't received. He got a check. He was not received one payment or any other notification, but we were certified on 423. It keeps asking for a PIN. He was never asked to set up a PIN. And a bunch of people talk about those PIN numbers. So if you do have a problem like that, where do people go? Either they're getting the wrong amount, they don't have a PIN, and that doesn't seem to get through the bot.
Sure. So if somebody has a unique problem with their claim or a technical issue, they are required in most cases to talk to a live person. We know this has been a point of a lot of frustration for people not being able to get through in the call center. We have, since the start of this pandemic, we've worked as quickly as possible to expand the call center capacity. We've supplemented some staff into the call center to increase the number of staffers there. And we've recently contracted with Deloitte to stand up a virtual call center. There will be about 100 new call center reps working on Monday.
Oh, that's a great relief.
Yes, ramping up to.
What's the toll-free number, Rebecca, they should call? Do you have that handy, or is it on the website? I'm sure.
It's on the website. Yeah, I can pull it up here.
Okay. Well, let me move on because I have so many other questions. I know the number's on the website. I'm sitting here looking at it. But let me ask you this. There are a whole group of questions about what happens if my boss gets the PPP grant and calls me my workers back. Someone said, well, what if it only lasts for 8 weeks? Can I then recertify or refile? Another person, when 8 weeks of PPP money ends, do I need to reapply for unemployment or just begin certifying again? And another one, if you are getting PPP, but you got called back to work, what about the benefits you might have missed the first 3 weeks when you couldn't get through to get your benefits? What's with this PPP plan, which is only lasting 8 weeks anyway?
So in general, first of all, unemployment claims will be backdated to the date of layoff. As far as the PPP goes, if you are called back to work because your employer has gotten the PPP, in general, when you certify every 2 weeks, you're certifying that you are able and available to work. If you are called back to work because your employer recently got the PPP, you will have to certify that you are able and available to work. Therefore, you will be going back to work because your boss has gotten the PPP. In the event that happens, it may be disqualifying for the weeks that you're back at work. If you certify that you are able and available to work, but you do not go back to work because your boss has gotten the PPP, there can be some negative consequences to that. But in general, it can be disqualifying, but it's always a case-by-case basis.
Rebecca, and let me interrupt you for a second. You get called back. I thought you're certifying on the certification every 2 weeks that you're able and available. When your boss calls you back, do you say, no, I'm not available, I'm working? Is that what you're supposed to do?
So let's say you were out of work for the first week that you're certifying. You would certify that I am able and available to work. I am not currently working and I'm not currently earning any wages. And the second week you were called back to work because your employer received PPP. In that instance, you would say, I am working, I am earning wages.
Okay. Now, what about if after 8 weeks, they say, sorry, the restaurant's not going to open. We got you 8 weeks, which was less, by the way, than you were getting on unemployment, but that's another story. But anyway, they say, so you're unemployed again in 8 weeks. Do you have to start all over filing a claim?
No, your claim is good while you're in your benefit year. So all you would have to do is go back into your account and start certifying for the weeks that you are now currently out of work. It may be
Great.
A case where if you're you didn't certify for a certain amount of time, you may have to call a rep to get your claim reactivated, but you don't have to reapply.
Good. Now, here's a question about payment cards with zero balances. First of all, do most people get either A, a check, B, a direct deposit, and C, what's with these cards that some people got? And finally, some people got cards with no way to get money. There was no money on it. So talk about those cards and how people get these benefits.
So the two payment methods that claimants can choose is direct deposit or a debit card. Debit cards are mailed to claimants after they have submitted an application, even though they have not yet been determined eligible or ineligible. We do that in the case that if you are deemed eligible, you don't have to then wait on any longer on the card to get in the mail. So when you receive the card, most cases there won't be any money on it because benefit payment is determined on certifying. So you won't get benefit payment until you certify. But we want people to have the debit card if that's the route that they choose to be paid so that they don't have to wait any longer for it to come in the mail after they've certified.
Typically, how long does it take from the time you receive your card? I mean, what do you do? Just keep going into the card and seeing if there's money there? Is there a notification?
After you submit your claim is when you can go in and change to direct deposit. If you would like to keep using the debit card to receive your payment after you certify, will be loaded onto that card, or it will be sent to your bank direct deposit in 2 to 3 days.
All right. Now I have a glitch, a weird glitch. 2 or 3 people wrote me about it. It's a message that says your deductions are equal or greater than your benefits. Someone attached a copy of the benefits payment explanation. No idea what this means. I kept trying to get in, and we don't remember the PIN number, which was set up several years ago. Someone else. I was employed, then furloughed. The letter I received says, quote, I'm not eligible. My deductions are equal to or greater than your weekly benefit. Hey, she says, my deductions are $241, according to the letter sent. No wages show. How do I get help?
Again, in most cases, a deduction will occur if you have received any type of wage. That could be a vacation payment, vacation time payment, a retirement payment from the employer with which you've recently parted. So in this instance, it's typically due to some sort of wage has been earned by the claimant.
Okay, now a lot of people say they still have their jobs, but their hours were reduced. That's one category of what I'll call part-timers. Another group says, I'm self-employed. That'll come up when she files. Half my income is this part-time job doing this other stuff. So what are the income limits here? How much do you have to have earned to actually qualify, speaking about this?
So
what if your income, you're still employed, but it's reduced?
Unemployment benefits can be eligible for unemployment benefits if you are employed or unemployed. Everything, obviously, as I've said, is a case-by-case basis. Typically, to qualify, you have to have earned at least $1,600 during a recent 12-month period. This is.
I'm sorry, say again, Rebecca. I think your phone went out, or maybe it was mine. How much do you have to have earned?
So to qualify, you must have earned at least $1,600 during a recent 12-month period. This is known as your base period.
Mm-hmm.
So that's typically the formula that is used. And so if your hours have been cut or you've lost employment, this is the basis on which the formulas will start to be conducted to determine what your weekly benefit amount will be. Weekly benefit amounts can range anywhere from $51 to $484, not including a dependent allowance or the $600 federal stimulus.
Does the $600 federal stimulus go out automatically?
Yes, it is added automatically to your weekly benefit amount.
Okay, those of you who said you weren't getting them, there'll be more people in the call center. And just going back to this, someone says, okay, I was reduced to 60% of my working hours. Can they file a claim for that 40% of their working hours if they still have the job?
We would encourage anybody who thinks they may be eligible for unemployment benefits to apply. There's no penalty to apply and be denied. Again, everything is a case-by-case basis. It's hard to give a one-size-answer-fits-all. So the best advice I can give is to apply and work your way through the system.
Okay. And some people said, you know, I would work, but I can't. I have a health condition that makes it impossible for me. My doctor won't allow me to go back to work. Are there benefits for people in that situation?
If you are immunocompromised and or your doctor has said that for a medical reason you may be more susceptible of catching COVID-19, anything to that nature, having one or both of those documents will make for a stronger case in applying for benefits. So again, case-by-case basis, we would encourage you to apply. Having one or both of those documents when you apply and working your way through the system.
So you're not mad if people apply and get turned down. The advice is to apply, and on Monday, prominently, at illinois.gov/IDES, there will be a link. What's it going to say up there, Rebecca, for the self-employed? It's called PUA, but what will it say there on the homepage?
Yeah, it's the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program. It'll say that.
Perfect.
PUA. Apply here. So it won't be hard to miss, I would hope.
Okay, Rebecca Sisco of the Illinois Department of Employment Security, thank you so much for coming on and answering so many questions our listeners have. And welcome back to the Wind Trust Business Lunch. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in today for John Williams, and very excited about our next guest because, you know, it's called the Wind Trust Business Lunch, but Wintrust is synonymous with its founder and CEO, Ed Wehmer, who I'm thrilled to say joins us today. Ed, welcome to your own show.
Yeah, my own show. I never had one before.
Well, you put your name on this a long time ago, for which we're grateful, and we're keeping this separate. It's not just a thank you for that, but it's a thank you, really, in a way, for making Wintrust really rise to the top of the cream rising to the crop of Chicago's business and individual bank. I did a webcast with you about 10 days ago for the Chicago Innovation, and at that time you said, we have given out about 11,000 PPP grants under this payroll protection plan.
Mm-hmm.
What's the number now?
Well, it's about 11,603. It's actually slowed down a little in wave two. It's and it's interesting. The program itself, they had $310 billion allocated to the program. Only $186 billion is out. So demand has kind of slackened a little bit. It's surprising to me because I know there's more need out there, but I think that the government, in true fashion, came out with a wonderful program and then started screwing around with it. We've had 124 clients already return their loans.
Why would they do that?
Regulations, because they just don't want to deal with them anymore.
So the idea was that most of the money, three-quarters, was supposed to go to maintain payroll. Some could go to mortgage and utilities. But if they didn't have all those people still on the payroll at the end of 8 weeks, the grant converted to a loan, which was only a 1% loan. Sounds like a reasonable deal.
Yeah, you would think so. But the Treasury came out with regulations after the fact. It's now giving people till May 14th to cancel the loans and not be subjected to the did you really need the money, which is somewhat subjective. And you know, I know people who took the money but didn't want to have to deal with the U.S. government as a counterparty and said, I'd rather just give it back and let the people go on unemployment, which is seems counterproductive. But when you know, it's kind of like what they did with TARP. They get it out and then they switch the rules right after they get it out, and it's it scares a lot of people. They don't want to have to deal with the government.
The government's been known to do that back in the savings and loan crisis and in 2007, 2008. But let me ask you, does that leave room? I know 1,000 people out there saying, wait, he's got money left? Can we apply? We'll deal with the regulations. We really need some money to keep our people employed in our small business.
Right. I mean, they've got close to $130 billion left as of 5 o'clock last night. So I thought the money would go very quickly, but it has slowed down. And it's indicated by actually the numbers. The second round, the average loan size, not for us, but system-wide, went from $206,000 to $74,000.
Well, prominently
so smaller, more smaller people coming in, so they're doing more loans for smaller amounts. But our second round, we did 2,150 loans for $360 million, and the median amount, not the average, went from $90,000 to $33,000. So smaller businesses are getting in. I think it had something to do with the way the SBA allowed the gateway. They didn't let, it wasn't first come, first serve. They actually allocated a timeout to each bank, each of the 5,000 institutions that were calling in to get the ETRAN numbers, which basically was your commitment to get the money. And they allocated those out, so that meant more and more people were able to get in. So more and more banks.
Now, I'm at the WinTrustBank.com, where it says click here to learn more. You are still taking applications for PPP grants, right?
We're not doing them through the portal. You'd have to call a bank officer.
Call a bank officer at WinTrust. Yeah, are the people sitting in the banks at? How have you been handling that? Branches open. You're all over town. Are you pretty much open?
Well, everybody's working, but we run a 15 charter. We have 186 locations around Chicago, Milwaukee. We've closed the main banks for general traffic. All the drive-ins are open, but you can always make an appointment to come in. And, you know, everybody's working at home with the Internet these days. Heck, we did almost 12,000 applications with nobody in the bank. So
all
we're
right,
able to do it.
Funny.
And if you've got your data ready, there's plenty of room, still money out there. So
that's a headline for today. That's really great news. Let's pass that word on. Well, I've got you. You know, today or yesterday, the futures predicted that potentially, not now, but potentially, interest rates could actually go negative. Now, that's terrible for businesses because, I mean, yeah, people are paying you to keep their money, but how can you make loans? What's your thought, and what are savers? My chicken money listeners, what are they supposed to make of getting next to nothing in their CDs?
Well, I don't think it'll go negative. I think that the Treasury has said they have no desire for it to go negative. They don't want it to go negative. But I think, the real sticker in all this is the quantitative easing that they do, where they just keep buying and buying and buying, and there's not enough demand out there. I mean, it's, you know, what are you going to do? So I think that you're going to have low rates for the time being, but negative rates would be a disaster for everybody, including the banks. And they said they're not going to let it happen. I believe that because I think they know it would be a disaster for us. Because people they think, well, rates are really low, now it'll be negative. You have to lend money. And people still have to be paid for your risk, Terry. I mean, that's part of our business. So if you can't get paid for your risk, you won't lend money. And you look at Japan and some parts of Europe where they have these negative rates, and they're not lending, and they're stuck in a quagmire. I think it'd be the dumbest thing they could possibly do.
Yeah, I've heard Jay Powell speak personally and say, look at me a year and a half ago when I asked him that, and say, Terry, that's not happening in America. So Okay, I believe him. But then let me ask you the second half of that thing. There's obviously some people out there that might be looking for mortgages. Now, I understand it gets riskier because you don't know about people's jobs and employment stuff, but the spread's pretty wide there still on fixed-rate 30-year mortgages.
They hit a low yesterday. I mean, yesterday was as low as they've ever been. You know, the mortgage rates pulse with the demand because there's only so many loans you can put through the pipe. So when WinTrust or Chase or Wells, they get filled up, they increase their spread to moderate the amount of demand going through the pipe. So that first and second waves have gone through the pipe, and you see rates going down again. And so it's a wonderful time to refinance.
What you may not have it at your fingertips, but what you're looking for now on a 30-year mortgage?
I don't have it at my fingertips, to be honest with you.
You think we're going to get down
back? It changes every day, you know. It changes every hour.
Yep, that's for sure. But you think we're back going to be back down around 3% or maybe ever even under it?
You think you might be hovering around 3 and a little bit over, a little bit under.
Okay.
But if the demand picks up, then it'll pop up again as the bankers add a little bit more spread.
Bankers have to make money too. They make the economy go. Let me ask you something. This is a strange time. This is not a banker's opinion, but as you look at the economy and there all the projections of this is going to be horrible, it's going to last forever. Wait till it comes back again. Wait till businesses really can't reopen. That's the negative side. On the positive side, we see. Not to mention the current unemployment numbers. And then on the positive side, we see the stock market rallying, the NASDAQ at new highs. What's your thought about the economy and what the markets are saying about it?
Well, you know the market always looks 6 months to a year ahead. And I think
right.
I think 6 months to a year ahead, we'll be right back where we were. I think that there's a psychology out there that everybody just wants to get back. And it's I don't think, you know, some people are afraid, like old guys like me and you have to. Well, I'm not saying you're old, but I know I am.
Been around.
you're always young, Terry, but you're forever young. But guys like us, we have to be very careful. But we learned we can work from home and manage from home. But other people, the younger people, can probably get there and go back to their normal lives relatively quickly. You're going to have some sort of the herd. What do they call it? The
immunity
yeah. happening and. And people just want to get out. You can't keep America penned up as long as they have. You see it kind of happening militantly right now, and I don't think that's the case. But people just want to get out, and they want to get back to their lives. And I think that's what's going to happen a lot faster than anybody thinks. And I think it's going to be, it won't be a V, it won't be a U, it could be a W, but I actually think they'll have the vaccine and other mitigants out there for the disease itself to avoid a W. I think it's just going to be not a V, but a U with a small bottom, and we're going to pop right back. I mean, you remember what we came out of, and people want to go back to that. People had their jobs, and I thought what the government did was brilliant to keep people in their jobs and working until they then scared everybody away. But now they just got to pay out unemployment, so what's the difference? So
it's one way or another.
I actually think that this is going to be fine.
I like that. I'm going to come back to that before we get off, but let me ask you two tougher questions. And that, you know, you are, as you mentioned, all the locations you have around Chicago, in Illinois, the budget-busting implications of this, the spend, I mean, you had to do it, no question about it, but the costs of this last few months are going to be disastrous, not only for the city of Chicago, but particularly for the state of Illinois, which just yesterday said, hey, we can't sell bonds. You know, the yields are too high. Nobody wants to buy them at these rates. What's the implication for Illinois, do you think?
Well, Illinois was in the soup before everybody.
Yep.
Everybody knows Illinois was in the soup before this even hit. Couldn't hit at a worse time for anybody, much less the state of Illinois. The fact of the matter is, I said this publicly, and I'll probably be beat up for it, but if the government doesn't bail them out, their only way to go is bankruptcy because they're that far behind the eight ball. This hasn't helped much. They cannot continue. They already have the highest taxes. They tax again. People are going to leave, and they're going to push people out. It's just it can't work. So they're starting to push against the string right now, and that string isn't going to be there. And the city's the same way. You cannot tax these people over and over again forever and expect them to stay when they have other opportunities. So it's expediting us to pay the piper at some point in time, buck up and do what we have to do. But it's
now bankruptcy
it's
is possible for a city, but it's under the current law. States can't go bankrupt, although there was some discussion in Washington. But even if there were, what that implies is some rejiggering of obligations, and the biggest obligation is pensions in Illinois.
Well, I think that there's, I think bankruptcy would be, you know, it would be very dire and drastic and would be caused by them not being able to meet their bills, which they really kind of can't do anyhow. But I think if they agreed to find a way to change the Constitution and do the things they need to do to everybody's got to pay a little bit in this. I think most people pay more taxes. if, in fact, they knew there was an end to this, but there's never an end to it. It's they won't. The governor's proposal to change the Constitution to allow the progressive tax rate, but not change what is the most the future pension.
That obligation is huge.
The core structure has to be changed, and they won't do that. It doesn't make sense. I mean, why not go to the 401k approach for new employees? I mean, I don't have a pension. Not a lot of people have pension anymore unless you're in the government. Freeze them, go forward with what's marketable. There's a lot of ways through this, and I think that people would be willing to bail us out if we would be willing to show more discipline on the other side. Everybody's got to give a little blood here.
I think that's definitely going to come to the fore. I want to ask you before you leave, just your thoughts going forward to individuals. This is a really tough time. We're talking about people with financial issues and financial problems and savings rates and mortgages. A lot of people just waiting to get their stimulus checks. They're on SSI, you know, basic low income. There's a lot of pain out there aside from the healthcare aspects of this. How can you be so optimistic that we'll get through this?
Well, I think the way I look at it is, you know, you can, if you could call your mortgagor and say, I need 3 months of abatement or deferral. You can get 3 months with a deferral. It's all about maintaining cash right now. So if you can do that, if you go to your landlord and say to your landlord, I can't pay rent for 3 months, but I'll make it up or I'll make it up at the end or whatever. You can work a deal with them. That landlord is going to go to the bank, and banks are handing out deferrals of interest and principal 3 to 6 months, pretty much like candy right now, because it's almost like time is stopping for 3 months. If everything stops for 3 months and we can push the button or pull the cord again and get it going, everything will click back in again. So cash is king. Preserve your cash. Hang in there the best you can. You know, the unemployment benefits are pretty good. $1,200 a month you can get. Plus, if your employer has the PPP, you keep your job and your benefits. I think we kept over 500,000 people in their jobs through the 11,000 loans, and probably
and
over
benefits.
A million people, if you figure it out, if you had their dependents with the PPP loans. I mean, that's really what kept us going. It was kept people working all night on these loans and getting them out the door was the fact that we're able to help all these people.
Ed Wehmer, CEO and founder of Wintrust. Number one, you announced that there is still more money in the PPP program. Call Wintrust. That's the way to do it. Number two, you gave us a hard look at Illinois' financial situation. And number three, you gave us a lot of optimism about what happens after this thing reopens and help for people to get through it. So that's what makes you Chicago's banker. Ed Wehmer, thank you so much for joining us. And guess what comes next? The Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Despite the pandemic, hospitals are hurting. The University of Chicago Medical Center is furloughing workers and postponing some planned capital projects as it loses tens of million dollars a month because of the pandemic. Hospitals have had to cancel elective surgeries, and that's where the money is. Ford Motor Company will join the rest of the Detroit 3 in resuming North American production on May 18th. That's after the governor of Michigan eased some restrictions. It plans to resume full operations at part depots on May 11th. And Uber lost $2.9 billion in the first quarter. A lot of that comes from overseas. It's hoping to grow its food delivery business. It's also selling its bike and scooter programs to Jump. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand. Now with a look at the day's agribusiness headlines, Orion Samuelson.
And we've talked so much about the closing of meat processing plants. Let me share a story that I received a short time ago of the packing plants that are opening this week. And these are pork plants and beef plants and poultry plants, stores in Wilmer, Minnesota, in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Pasco, Washington, Dakota City, Nebraska, Logansport, Indiana, and the Tyson plant at Perry, Iowa. That's a pork plant. So we are getting these plants prioritized with sanitation practices so that they can allow the workers back into a safer environment to get the plants open. Another note, too, there was a conversation between trade officials in China and the United States in a phone call last night, and top U.S.-Chinese trade representatives played down the differences over the economic wreckage of the pandemic and said they would press ahead with implementing their Phase 1 trade deal after that overnight phone call between Washington and Beijing. So we'll keep an eye on that. Oh, and with the gardening season getting underway, let me remind you that every Saturday morning on the Saturday Morning Show, I sit down with Jim Fazell, who has been our specialist in ornamental horticulture for 40 years, and we'll talk gardening and the things you can be doing right now. But I can tell you ahead of it, cover your plants outside because they could get frosted tonight. Don't cover them with plastic, however. Cover them with bed sheets or whatever cloth materials you have. That's your money on 720 WGN.
And welcome back to these last few minutes of the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm Terry Savage, sitting in today for John Williams. And by the way, I'll be back on Monday, and we will be talking more on Monday about Illinois' finances. And a shocking new report. It won't be shocking if you've been following Illinois' finances, but a real hard-cut report from Truth in Accounting talking about the state of Illinois in a financial sense. And then in another half of our show, we're going to talk on Monday, and please tune in for this, advice for families with high school seniors heading off to college, having to make decisions now. Am I going to go or not go? Do I put down the deposit? What's the difference if they're giving classes online? Will I have to stay at home? Should I take a gap year? All kinds of decisions that have to be made in the next month or two, usually by May 1st, but now certainly by June. So we've got an expert from CollegeWise, the College Counseling Association, to help us with that. Well, this has been an interesting show. I didn't leave myself much time at the end, nor, as I usually like to do, have time for your questions. But what I did do in the first half was, and I thank Rebecca Sisko of ides.illinois.gov, where for the announcement that, number one, on Monday, anybody who is self-employed can go and register. If you were turned down before from the traditional registration, you must start over with the new registration because the site's don't talk to each other, she said. I'm going to see exactly how jammed up that site becomes, but Deloitte set it up and did a great job working on it very quickly to collect information for self-employed people to get your benefits. The other thing she talked about was bringing on a new call center for IDES so that the phone lines that are at the website, you get a better shot at answering all those questions about, I don't have a PIN or what happened to my $600 federal. And our real thanks to Ed Weimer of Wintrust. Interesting. Let's recap that. There is PPP money out there. Now, you have to certify that you're using it for and did use it at the end for payroll and approved expenses that include utilities and mortgage. But fact is, there are a lot of small businesses that would probably like to do this. Some employees don't like to see the boss get PPP because they get called back to work and maybe their payroll is lower than the benefits that they could get online. So think about that as you move into the chance once more to get some grants, and it could be free money. And even if you don't meet the requirements, it's a low-cost loan at the end of 8 weeks when you certify. Well, that takes it from here. I'm Terry Savage. My website is terrysavage.com. I have a Q&A blog there, and I thank you for listening. I'll look forward to your questions, and I'll see you on Monday.